Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, "And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, and the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them." Thank you, Father. He says, "I have come to deliver them." The people of Israel were in bondage in the land of Egypt. After 430 years, God said, "Enough is enough. I have come to deliver them." What am I going to do? I am taking them to a good land and a broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. You see, that's always God's plan. In the beginning, when he created Adam and Eve, he put them in the garden. Everything was supplied. And then the enemy came, and that plan was interrupted. And so he said, "I'm taking out a people for myself. I'm going to take them into a good land." When you read the Bible, it all points towards back to the original intent and plan of God. When you read the Bible in that perspective, then you see it in a different light. And so that's it, was his plan. "I'm going to take them out to a good land. I have a plan for them. I have a good land for them." That is always God's plan. It always traces back to the beginning. And even in the New Testament, what God has done is higher. It's even better. The Bible talks about the fact that we have a better covenant established on better promises. So this was his plan, to take them out and to bring them into a good land. Thank you, Father. To bring them into a good land. What happened? A certain percentage of them entered and a certain percentage didn't enter. Numbers chapter 13, verse Numbers 13. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh, my. Are you ready for this? My Lord. Numbers chapter 13. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Verse 26. It says, "And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, 'We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan.'" Oh, my Lord, verse 30. "But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it.' Then the man who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are.' So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them.'" God said, "I am taking you to this land." They sent out spies to go and look at the land. 10 of the spies came and gave a bad report, an evil report, the other translation put it. A report of doubt is an evil report. God said, "I've given you the land." They came back and said, "We cannot." They talked about the giants in the land. God didn't tell them about the giants in the land. He knew that there were giants in the land. But if God is with you, who cares about the giants? If God is with you, then he doesn't care about the giant. The giants don't make a difference. When God is with you, the giants don't make a difference. God has a plan and a purpose for our life this very year. There are things that God wants to accomplish in our lives and with us as a church as well. But no matter what comes up, we have to stick and with what God says. Caleb said, "Let us go up at once to take the land." The other said, "We are not able to do it because we saw the good things that you talked about, but we also saw giants." God doesn't care about the giants. He knows that there are difficulties ahead. He knows that there are giants in the land. But he knows that if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is on our side, nobody can be against us successfully. Those giants are nothing. Those giants are nothing compared to our God. Hallelujah. So they said we are not able to go up against them. Number one, for us to accomplish the things that God has for us in this year, we are going to have to agree with what God says concerning our lives. Agree with God and not with what you see. Agree with God and not what you see. What you see may be contrary to what God has said, but always let's put God first. Let's put God and his word first. God and his word are one. When he says something, he means. And when he says, and he also always means what he says. Notice, it wasn't even the giants that defeated them. Verse 33 talks about the fact that we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers. And so we seemed to them. That is how they looked at themselves. That the way they looked at themselves is the way the people saw them. God never made a failure. God doesn't make failures. No, the way they saw themselves is how the people saw them. We are going to have to see ourselves in the light of what God says. What has God said about our lives? What has God said in his word about our lives? Always, his plan for our lives is to lead us to that good place. To lead us into his plans and purposes. This year, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, all of us will fulfill everything that God has for us. Whatever is in your heart that you want to see in this year, whatever you have put down as goals, whatever you have put down, God has put in your heart to accomplish, I pray in the name of Jesus, as we put God and his word first, they will all come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My Lord. My God. Caleb said, "Let us go up at once to take the land." Verse 14, continue reading down. It says, "Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, 'Would we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to one another, 'Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, 'The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, or do not fear the people of the land.'" Notice, "For they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." My Lord, Caleb is calling those giants bread. that is what he's going to use for his diet. Are you looking for a diet this year? Look for giants and impossibilities to overcome. He's calling those giants bread. Oh my God. Their defense is departed from them. Our God is with us. He kept saying it. Our God is with us, and he will give us the land. Do not fear them. Do not fear them. Caleb, I love him. His name means a dog. If you look at a dog, he follows closely. Closely to you. He was following what God has said, he and Joshua. These people are bread for us. These people, compared to our God, they are nothing. We can overcome the land. Let us go up at once to take the land. My Lord, God has a place for you and I in him. God wants us to have his very best, but we are going to have to agree with his word. And then notice verse 20. Let's start from verse 20. Thank you, Father. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, this was after Moses prayed, as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. None of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers. And none of those who despise me shall see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Now, verse 28 says, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and of all your number listed in the census from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. None, not one shall come into the land where I swore that I will make you dwell, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones who you said will be a prey, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. Notice he said, what you said is what you are going to have. You said we will fall in the wilderness. That's exactly what will happen to you. What we say in this year, it will be very important. What Caleb said, we'll go, and Joshua said, we'll go into the land, and they did go in. Either way, good or bad, has a lot to do with how we see ourselves and also the words that we speak. Caleb could have agreed with all of them and said, we are not able to do it. But he chose to follow God, to be committed to God. So at the age of 85, when they ask him for a bread, what do you want? He says, give me that mountain. I remember the time that we went out to spy out the land, and God said he will give me that land. At 85, he was still feeding on mountains and giants. He was still waiting to see what he has said way back. It took them 40 years, but eventually he got exactly what he said. It's going to take faith to possess the things that God has for us in this year. And notice that company delayed him for 40 years. He was ready to go up at once. The other said we couldn't go. So there was a delay of 40 years before he got into that place. That company delayed him. That the company that we keep has a great deal. Yeah, has a great deal. If they are negative people, they drag you down with them. If they are always talking about the negative side of life, you can come to church, hear the word of God, get full of faith, and once you get in the wrong company and they start talking about how bad the economy looks and how everything looks, then all the faith. But you talk back and say, hey, I know who I said. I know the God that I serve. I know the God that I serve. And one thing is, the majority is not always right. The majority is not always right. Those two decided that they will stand out for God. I remember when I went to a boarding high school, and it was a denomination that didn't believe in getting filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues. And whether you realize it or not, when you get born again, you have the Holy Spirit in a measure. But it's God's will that you be filled with His Spirit to overflowing and speak in your heavenly language to your Father. And so these people didn't believe in that. And so when we were praying and when we set out to serve God, with all of our heart, they persecuted us. But the thing is, we were the minority. But when they traced throughout the school, the minority who were following God and had this experience and we were passionate about God, we were the ones who were on top. We were the brightest and sharpest in the school by the grace of God. So they didn't know what to do with us. They used to chase us out of our prayer meetings. They come with a cane. Have you ever been beaten with a cane before? Took a cane, whipped us. But no, we are seeing something in the Bible, and we have the results. We have the proof. We were the best, like Daniel. 10 times better than all the rest. We used to pray that always. Lord, make us 10 times better than these other people. The glory of God was in our life. But the thing point is, they were the majority, we were the minority. But anytime people can, whether at work or sometimes when you stand out for Jesus Christ, you say you're a Christian, you get persecuted at work. But if the people can see a difference in your output at work, if the people can see a difference in you, if your friends can see that, no, since this person started following God, I can tell and see a significant difference, then they don't have an option. They'll usually come and follow you. It may not happen soon, but at some point we'll begin to see a difference. In this new year, for us to make a difference, we have to be committed to God. There's a verse in Malachi chapter 3, verse 18, Malachi chapter 3, verse 18. Let's stand there. Thank you, Father. Malachi chapter 3. It takes being committed to God and following hard after God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 18. Malachi 3, verse 18. It says, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. Sooner or later, there is going to be a distinction between the one that is following God and the one that is not following God. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous. The English Standard Version says, you shall see the distinction. I love that. Between the righteous and the wicked. Between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him. It is good. There will be a distinction between one who has set his heart to wholly follow God. Tune out all the noise and say, I know what my God has done in my life. I know the difference that will come as a result of following God. You watch me. Today I may be here, but sooner or later you will be chasing after me and asking me what it makes the difference in your life. God will always make a distinction. Being committed to God, following God wholly. Sometimes people may look at you and think you there's something wrong with you. No, there is not. You have seen something in the Bible. I remember all those people. They thought we are for Jesus. We are. That is who we will follow. Several years later, there is a clear distinction. There will always be a distinction. Following God and His word and being faithful, going praying, fasting, sharing Jesus with other people. That is, you are following and committed to God. Sooner or later, this will show up. Whether you are following God and making an endeavor to follow God, it sooner or later it will show. You see, spiritual seeds are better than material seeds. The seeds that we sow today, from a spiritual standpoint, they will show up. Galatians talked about the fact that do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Then he talks about the fact that don't sow to the flesh, sow to the spirit. Spiritual seeds that are sown have more benefits than sowing to the flesh. This year, I pray in the name of Jesus, as you make a commitment to follow God, as you make a commitment to obey God, may there be a distinction between you and the wicked. If that's you, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't sow to the flesh. Sow to the spirit. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Thank you, Father. Galatians 6, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good or sowing spiritually. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. In due season, if you keep sowing those spiritual seeds, if you keep confessing that word, if you keep putting that word in your mouth and obeying God as best as you know how, it says that we will reap if we do not faint. For Caleb, it took him 40 years because of the other bunch, but eventually, what he said, he reaped it. This year, let us endeavor that, God, you are going to be first in my life. Your word is going to be priority in my life. I'm going to feed on your word. I'm going to obey you as best as I know how. I'm going to follow you. Anyone can be changed, no matter how worse they have been. Everyone can be changed. That there is power in the earth to transform any and every life. God's mercy can extend out and reach out to everybody. My Lord, endeavor that we will follow God. Let's take from a spiritual standpoint, take spiritual responsibility. And what we do affects the people after us. Now, there's another example in the Bible of someone else who endeavored to follow God. Actually, let's step back a little bit. What that happened to Caleb and Joshua? How does it apply to us now? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. It's going to take speaking and believing the word of God for us to receive what he has for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 to 5. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, look at this. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses and in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual milk. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Why was God not pleased with them? They were not willing to believe God's word. Hebrews 11:6 talks about the fact that without faith, it is impossible. There is no way you can please God without faith. Notice verse 6. He says, now these things took place as example for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. So what he's saying is, I have a good land for you like these people. I have a destination for you like these people. I have a plan for your life like these people. These people drank the same spiritual drink. They ate the same spiritual food. And he said that rock that followed them was Christ. They did all these things, but when it came to the point where they had to believe that God had given them the land, they said no. Since they don't desire evil like they did. He's calling unbelief evil. He's saying that God was not pleased with them because they wouldn't believe what God has said. See, God and his word, he takes this seriously. John 1:1 talks about the fact that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He's one with his word. So he wants us to believe him. His plan for our lives, what he has for our lives. And so, repeating the same thing in similar words, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. Thank you, Father. Hebrews 4, 1 to 2. For us to have God's best and God's maximum, all that he has for us in this here and in our lives, we are going to have to believe what he says and speak in line with that. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you, Hebrews 4, 1 to 2, lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. The gospel is good news. What is the good news? God has come to restore, to add back everything that the enemy did in Adam. The same good news is being preached to us. The same good news was preached to them, but they said, no, we won't believe it. God is a wicked God. He's going to kill us in this wilderness. Why did he take us from Egypt? We have garlic and cucumbers and all these things to eat in Egypt. He came to take us out to kill us out here. They refused to believe what God said. They refused the plan of God. So he said that let us fear, let we be like them. The good news, they failed to reach it. God has a rest, oh my Lord, has a rest for all of us. There is a rest of faith. And he says that we who have believed, notice belief is connected to the rest, enter into that rest as he has said. God wants you to live a life that is fulfilling. God wants you to fulfill everything that he has for you. But he says, believe my word. Believe my word. Don't speak contrary to what the Bible says. Speak in line with the word of God. By his stripes I am healed. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. As I follow God and sow seeds from a spiritual standpoint, I will not grow weary in well-doing. I will not grow weary in doing this. I will not grow weary in following God. I will not grow weary in praying. I will not grow weary in studying the word of God. I will not grow weary in doing good. And in due season, oh, don't grow weary, your due season is coming. Hallelujah. Don't grow weary, your due season is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do not grow weary. Your due season is coming. Another character in the Bible, Ruth chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. Oh, I love his word. Thank you, Father. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Ruth chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Ruth, Naomi had gone into a foreign land. And when she was there, she ran into problems. Something that she hadn't planned for. That her two sons died. And so when those two sons died, she decided that this journey is too bitter. I'm going to go back to where I came from. And those two daughters had a choice to follow God or to stay with their gods. And according to the way the system worked, if she was able to find another man and give birth to a child, and Ruth was willing to wait for that child to grow up, then from the legal standpoint, the way they had it, Ruth could get married again. But notice what Ruth says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 15. Let's start from 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, my sister-in-law is gone back unto her people. And notice, unto her gods. Return you after my sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part you and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Ruth had a choice to go back to her gods, to go back to her people, or to stay with Naomi. But she chose God. She chose God. When we are confronted, may we choose God. She chose God. She said, I'm choosing your God. Your God will be my God. I am committed to following you. Where you die is where I will die. Oh, we get to the point and we say, Jesus, I will follow you for the rest of my life. You have done and paid a greater sacrifice for me, and I will follow you. I will be committed to you. You say, what happened to her? When she went into the land by divine arrangement, where she went to work, she met a man, Boaz, who was in line to, who was the kin to Naomi and could marry her. She started, she was just faithfully working in the field. And the man paid attention. I said, oh, then the whole thing worked out because she chose to follow God, to put his word first, to put him first above everything else. And then when she married Boaz, eventually she gave birth to Jesse to David, and then Jesus Christ came through. If you read the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, Ruth's name, she's one of the women whose name is mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. See, life is full of choices. We face choices and decisions all the time, to follow God or to choose our own path. But when she chose God, her name is in the genealogy of Jesus. Your God will be my God. I will follow God. I will follow his precepts. She positioned herself by her choices and decision for where eventually she ended. May that be our decision, the decision, the choices that we decide that God, you are priority. She said, I'm not going to associate with these people and their gods anymore. And she ran into what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Thank you, Father. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. As we endeavor to follow God and to obey him, notice what he says. Blessed is the man. That is what God is always interested in. I don't know if you have figured that out or not. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. In some of the things that he does, no, he's giving you the recipe for success in life. That's what Ruth ran into. What this person is concerned about is God's word, his delight. God's word is what you hop and skip about. What God delights in is what you are interested in. And in the Lord that you meditate day and night. That is what I endeavor to do. Sometimes when I'm sleeping, other people are preaching to me. I am delighting in God's word. When I'm driving around, other people are preaching to me. Listen, endeavoring to keep the word of God before me all the time. He's like a tree. Planted. That means that person is established. Planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. The dry seasons may come, but this person experiences moisture. This person experiences God. This person is never dry. This person is experiencing God in its fullness. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, may you know no dry season this year. As you endeavor to delight in God, as you endeavor to delight in his word, as you endeavor to follow him, may you know no dry season. If something that you say a big amen. Oh, I'm excited. Glory be to God. Oh, in all that he does, he prospers. Oh, everything that his hands find to do prospers. Whatever his occupation is, he prospers. Because he delights in the law of God. He delights in what God delights in. Everything that he does prospers. My Lord and my God. But it starts with the decision to be in the right company and to delight in the word of God. Like Paula was sharing, when she decided that my family has rejected me, or a portion of my family has rejected me from following God. Now at that point, you have a choice. Are you going to look to God and his word, or you are going to follow? Because in the natural, I mean, the other side of the family was very good. They could have paid everything. Your school fees, you don't have to think about money. But she said, I will follow God. And when she went to college, as she endeavored, sometimes at 4 o'clock in the campus church that we were in, she would get up and go and sweep and get that place ready. And she would endeavor to look to God and pray to God. And supernaturally, God brought her a sponsor that took care of her whole 4 years of college. Or supernaturally, if somehow God supplied the finances for her to go through college. Why? Because my dear wife decided that she will follow God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You see, it all comes down to choices. And you know what God is interested in the most? He's interested in people coming to know him, coming into his kingdom. So many around us that are hurting and frustrated and going through life not the way God intended. But he wants us to reach out to them. That's why Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 says, how do I fulfill the plan of God for my life this year? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. Thank you, Father. Notice, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, And whoever captures souls is wise. Whoever captures souls is wise. Whoever wins a soul is wise. That's what's on the heart of God. That's the reason why he sent Jesus. So put that together with what he said in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. He that wins souls is wise, delighting in God, delighting in his word, and endeavoring to follow God. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever. How many of us want to shine in life? Then become wise, like he's talking about. Go after people who are lost with a passion. I'm going to turn many to righteousness. Put it on the topmost of your goal this year. I'm going to turn many to righteousness this year. I want to be flying high. I want to go up higher. Look for those opportunities. Sometimes when you talk to people, the opening that comes, look for it and present the gospel to them in the simplest way that you can. Start with the beginning, what God did. Then this enemy came and tempted him and they were separated from God. Then use John 3:16. God so loved you, he sent his son to come and die for you. Then let them act on Romans chapter 10, 9 to 10. Whoever shall confess with their mouth, shall believe in their heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and confess with their mouth, they will be saved and they will come into the kingdom of God and be born again and start a new life. That is how to fly high. Now, so long as a church, we keep doing that. There's a man in Africa. He started with two people in the church. Now they have six services on Sunday with 50,000 present in each service. And they have two universities and thousands of churches. But he said, every Thursday, I make an effort. I go out there to go and look for souls. It becomes a lifestyle. That is who you are, because he knows what it takes to keep flying high. If you keep flying high, you have to keep doing what he did in the beginning. So if you want to keep flying high, we have to endeavor. Jesus Christ, this is the reason why I came, to seek and to save the lost. We pursue the lost with a passion, with a passion, with a passion. Everybody, that's the vision of this church. Everybody in this city should at least hear the gospel once. Everybody in the nations, as we network with other people, and as we go ourselves, should have the opportunity to hear the gospel at least once, and we'll keep flying. Hallelujah. I pray in the name of Jesus, as we endeavor to and commit to following God and to soul winning, bringing people to Jesus, may we never know any dry season. May we have a fulfilling year as we pursue the lost. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Oh, look at all these examples. They committed to following God. They committed to obeying God. Talk to God this morning and say, Lord, oh, Lord, thank you, Father. That desire, oh, God, to serve you, to make you first in my life. Your word says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. God has mighty and great plans for us. Let's talk to him this morning. Lift up your voice. Lord, I choose you. Lord, I choose you. Lord, I choose you. Oh, Lord, I choose you. I will believe your word and speak your word and follow you. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, and thank you. Your word says, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord. Perfect everything that concerns us. Let that desire to serve you, even as we follow you, may we emerge as leaders. That leadership potential that you have placed in all of us, come out in the mighty name of Jesus. May everything that our hands find to do prosper as we delight in your law, as we delight in your word and follow everything that you tell us. Thank you, Father. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. Not by what the circumstances tell us, because you know that you have a rest for us. May each and every one of us not be left behind. May everyone enter the rest that you have for us, oh God. Every chaotic situation and situation that causes lack of sleep and that is not peaceable, I speak the rest of God into it in the mighty name of Jesus. May we see the blessing of God in our life and go forth to be a blessing in the name of Jesus. Making a difference in our generation. Making a difference in our city. Making a difference in our land. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we love you because you loved us first. You are a father to us. Let's just rise up and raise our hands to him this morning. Thank you, Father. Just talk to him as well. Anything on your heart that you came to church with this morning, just talk to him. Whatever you want to see in your life this year, talk to God about it as well. In the mighty name of Jesus, he delights to do us good. He has a good land for each and every one of us. Oh, talk to God, the desires on your heart, what you want God to do in your life. Anything in your life that you don't want, just let it go. In the name of Jesus, and serve God. Oh, let my people go that they may serve me, the word of God says. Lord, I bless these ones. I pray that your hand will be strong upon them. I pray that wherever they find themselves, they will make a difference for God this year. In this month, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I speak your blessing. I speak your wholeness into their lives, oh God. May the God of peace himself sanctify them and make them whole, spirit, soul, and body. For faithful is he that called us, who also will do it. Let there be a distinction between them and the wicked. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, continue to flood our mouth with testimonies as we desire and seek after you. None will be left behind, Lord. May our week be blessed. We thank you and we give you praise that you will perfect everything that concerns us. We'll be flying higher and higher and making a difference. If everybody says, amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I came to church this morning.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.